Now, you say it's a strange business. We had in that Mishnah, remember, we did two Mishnahs outside the Gemara to catch up with. The Kvira saw the Amdina that come and Kvira saw that was conceded. She was only verse, yes. The Mishnah says that for Kvira, it's no yuchos mishnei cholilin umekel menes, that there must be two flute players, two flutes, and a woman to wail. That must be the very least there is. So you say you find that strange. Is that the word you used?
I think I can understand it now, actually. That was my emotional immediate response. I guess it would... What it would do is by having these two quote unquote professional whalers, it would take away any inhibitions. Other people who had a very genuine reason to whale, so that they would whale. In other words, people might be inhibited from displaying their outward, from whaling, and when someone else is doing something, then that takes away one's inhibitions. I can understand it in that regard.
Really, I think we can make it simpler than that, Mark. We can make it simpler than that. The Mishnah says that the very least is two flute players who play mournful music, and one woman who wails. So, why is it necessary? In the Californian climate, we can understand this very well. It's as if the Rabbeinu Shlomo has left over a certain place in the world, which helps us to understand a lot of things in the Torah. It was only 2 weeks ago that a certain lady went up to my wife and she said, you know, I'm late, we have to go to a shiva, and you know what it is? You have your tea and all that. So my wife was quite shocked and said, tea in the shiva house? You don't have tea in the shiva house. So this lady didn't know, which is perfectly legitimate, and she was very interested and she wanted to know more about it. So she came across to me, so I explained it to her. I said, it's a house of mourning, you know. And then she told me a few things. She said, you know, if the hammer really is shiva, it is something. For most people, they don't want to have it at all. They have the funeral, and after the funeral, they go to a restaurant and they have their meal, and that's all there is to it. Now, that's absolutely correct. That's what they do that. We don't want that at a funeral. A funeral is a very serious matter. There is somebody that has departed this life. At that very moment of his funeral, he's standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom and he's being judged for everything he did, and he's got to give account for everything. And we are, and it's a dear one, and we are just. So, what we would rather have is these things around. The music, the flute, and the woman to wail, this arouses in us a mournfulness. I don't know if I mentioned to you ever when General Smuts died, and General Smuts was a great figure. He was a great figure in the First World War, he was a great figure in the Second World War, and he had to do a lot about winning the war. And when he died, there was a memorial service. It was really a memorial service for the whole country. And in the arrangement for the mourning...
Can I ask what country it was on
the... This was South Africa. He was in the British... he was in the war cabinet in the First World War and in the Second World War. He was very close to Churchill and to Roosevelt. And he had a lot to do in all this. And he was a field marshal himself. He had the rank of a field marshal himself. He was a very great philosopher, too, very great thinker, political leader, diplomat, all these things, you know. Still one of that school, Masaryk school, still belong. Woodrow Wilson, Masaryk, that was that school still, you see. And so he died, and the arrangements were made for this national memorial for him. And at this meeting, there was the lead, the conductor of the orchestra of the Johannesburg Symphony Orchestra, and he had come out from the Concertgebouw of Amsterdam, a very fine musician. So the mayor said to him, I forget what his name, Schmarman or something, I forget what his name was now, he said, what would you play the orchestra? So he said, will you see the funeral from the Eroica, from Tommy Eroica. And they arranged it extremely well. And it started off with, that is what it started off with, and that whole movement was played. But it was played as the people were coming in and taking the seats, and then everybody was seated. Everybody was already seated, and it was still going on, and when that stopped, then the proceedings started. But it gave such an atmosphere to it. One wants the atmosphere ready, one doesn't want it to go past that people aren't moved at all. People might not be sufficiently moved. We have stopped doing it. We have stopped doing anything at a funeral. And that we already have in the Gemara in the first Perek, we already have in the Tam Kamir. It has stopped anything that there would be a difference between a wealthy man and a poor man at a funeral. That was stopped. The type of coffin that is used, that what they have in California, these very elaborate coffins, that's not allowed. And that you ask how much you want this one, you want that one, you want a cheaper one, that's not allowed. Everyone has plain wood without any markings on it, without any painting on it, without any varnish on it, just plain wood. That was a takona that was made. And this also came under that takona, that there was no distinction to be made. So that is why it was stopped. Yes?
I have two questions.
Yes?
First of all, since that time, and I'm speaking about, okay, at a wedding, I imagine, well, there have been certain places, I know Rabbi Lachman told us in Yerushalayim, there was a certain type of, not takana, but a rav made that people couldn't spend only so much money at a wedding.
Yes.
So nonetheless, there's always been at least something that there should be at a wedding to mean misameach the kala. Didn't they feel that there were at least some minimum that could still be spent here that was justified?
With the percent, in the case of chosen and kala, what was always done is rich people always participated in that. They always helped and made it more to make more simcha. And this is such a great simcha that the opportunity was given to Jewish people to do it. This was a really great mitzvah to be Messiah. Messiah Chos Mechal is a very big mitzvah.
It's an equally great mitzvah to...
it's not. Nothing. Messiah Chos Mechal is a very great mitzvah. No comparison.
What when we put it in, I mean, at least one place in the daily davening, we blink them, and
yes,
it's a very great,
yes,
it's in the same category.
There's a difference of fear, and in the end it says the same with Eric and Eric Kuno.
Yes.
Which it's not. So there's things that are different in value, they're not all the same value.
But wouldn't people participate in the burial?
And Nichum HaBeilim is not, he doesn't say to be, he says Nichum HaBeilim to comfort them. It doesn't say to do this. This is a duty of the person who is, this is his duty to do it. It's not anybody else's duty. Nichum HaBeilim, others have got to comfort him.
Right.
But to feel it, it's his duty to feel it. That is another thing altogether.
Okay.
Yes?
The role of the Chevra Kadisha, and with the funeral?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It depends what the tenets of Hebrew Kaddish is about. If it is a Hebrew Kaddish, as there should be, as every town should have a set Hebrew Kaddish, that you have funeral parlors and undertakers, I mean, this is absolutely against the deen. The correct thing is that there is a Hebrew Kaddish, and a good Hebrew Kaddish sees that they have got the stools at home, and will bring the stools and will bring the siddurim to daven at home. That's all a good Hebrew Kaddish will do, will see to these things. It doesn't end afterwards. And the Hebrew Kaddish will see to it that if the people aren't well known, they make it known and they ask people to go, and people from the Hebrew Kaddish will go and will comfort them. If they feel that they haven't got so many friends to comfort them, that they will do. That's as a Hebrew Kaddish should be. And David?
I'm wondering whether it is in keeping with the ideal of what a Jewish woman should be, that she might be paid to manufacture the manifestation of a deep emotional response on cue like this. Is that something that we should and can expect a Jewish woman to?
You're speaking about a woman, because in what woman it is? It's a woman who is an Oni Shebahanim Shebi Israel. That means the poor people in Israel regard her as a poor person. You follow? Thank God. So they, not that a rich person regards her poor, but that poor person, as you know, regards her as poor. So, is she happy or unhappy in her poverty? She's unhappy, so she's got something to worry about. She can do it. But those are the people that do it. The person that does that is that type of person. You haven't got them in California. But I saw these people still. Not that way, this is what they did, they didn't do that. But I saw these people who, you know, they say anything, that's the person that they took to do the wedding. And the funny thing is, that those people felt the death of a person more than a wealthy person.
That's how.
That is like, all that, yes.
That's all. You're going to relieve us with that, but that is life.
Of course that is life. And you just watch it. And the reason is simple.
Okay, which is?
Because, excuse my saying so, a rich person is connected with his wealth. If anything goes wrong with a rich person, if his house burns down, and if from the insurance he gets only a third of what it is worth and of what it's going to cost him over, and you've got a person that's all he's got, his house, and if he gets a third from the insurance, it means it's nothing. He can't even rebuild his house. Who feels it more? Who feels that there wasn't
a use for the poor person?
There's no question about it. And the rich person has got a friend in his money. He's got a friend in his money. It means something to him. And if somebody dies, all right, he's got it. He can manage. If his wife dies, well, he can take a housekeeper. He can manage, you see.
This poor woman was not a stranger to the whole.
No. Those were the people that were taken. All right. Yes.
You had said that you were surprised when this woman had said that she had had tea at a funeral.
Yes.
And most of my relatives, the funerals I've been to, they've not just had tea, they've had coffee, they've had cakes, they've had, a lot of things.
Yes, this lady said so, you see, she said, but she thought that was the correct thing to do, because these things are brought to the house of mourning, which is true. They're brought to the house of mourning for the people who are mourning, who are sitting shiver.
Yeah.
But she, I was only too pleased that she spoke about it.
All my relatives, the funerals I've been to, the family has provided stuff for the guest team.
Well, that isn't the community. It's not a social event. It's not, and it all makes it much easier with the subjects that are discussed. It makes it they think that's better. It's like that, you see. We've got a different view. All right, finish up our warming up exercise. One more point. To whom does the our dorpo belong?
According to Rabbi Akiva, it goes to the husband.
According to Rabbi Akiva?
No.
If it's
Shal Yedei Hatchak,
if it's Shalom Yedei Hatchak,
yes.
Everybody says it goes to the husband.
Everybody says. If it's Shalom Yedei Hatchak, everybody says that it goes to the husband. And if it's Shal Yedei Hatchak,
Rabbi Akiva says it goes to her, and the Chachamim, or the Tanakhama says, I think it's a Chachamim,
says it goes to him. And the Rabbi Akiva says it goes to her, and the Chachom said that was the epoch. That is the way we turned round this device, so we turned it round.
Right.
So Rabbi Akiva says that it belongs to the if it's al yedei hatchak, Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her, and the Talmud Kamos says that it belongs to the husband. Now, we paskin like the Tanakhama. We paskin like the Tanakhama that the Maisel Yedei Yedei Hatchak belongs to the husband. Do you remember that? So, and if it's Maisel Yedei Shelo Yedei Hatchak, to whom would that belong?
To the husband.
That would be Shelo Yedei Hatchak,
to whom more so?
Even more so would belong to the husband. So please remember that. So Maisel Yedei Shelo Yedei Hatchak belongs to the husband. That is fine. That is the Takuma instead of the Levanus. But even Maisel Yedei Shelo Yedei Hatchak, we paskin not like Rabbi Akiva, but we paskin like the Tanakhama, we paskin like the Rabbonon, that it belongs to the husband.
Which would mean then that we hold that, excuse me, Metziah, we hold also belongs to the husband.
Well, how can it come that you still take the Metziah? But then you're right, the comparison is right. So now we've got Shemaisa Yedei Yedei Hatchak. To finish all our warming up exercise, we know for the Zomer Seho, he gets the Maisa Yedei. For Pirkeino, he gets the Pelos. For Kavuroso, he gets the Kesubo. What is for, say, for Maisa Yedei, he gets, for the Zomer, he gets the Maisa Yedei. And according to the Rabbonon, he gets the Adolfo also. So, the Adolfo belongs to him. What does she get for the Adolfo?
We haven't
discussed. Yes, we have. Otherwise, what is it called?
It's money for their needs.
Important? That is the moral case
of the Mitzurfa.
That is the moral case that we have in that Mishnah. That is the moral case. That is the moral case that she gets. Moral case if she gets that. So for the Ha'adotho, for her adopo, not for the Ayyubaya, but for the adopo, for any surplus, she gets
too much. Didn't she tie us to this anyway? She needs a mark as a...
Well,
even if there's
not a... That's right. But for the more kesef, he is given the adopo.
And what if there is no adopo? You still have to give her the mark?
Sure. sure.
But if there is no adopo, he gets the adopo for it.
But same token, if she's not...
But we have an interesting thing. What happens if she didn't claim the role, Kesef?
Then she can withhold her...
Then she withholds her adopo. But normally speaking...
Did we have that inside? Yes, that was the Mishnah.
That's a precursor to a adopo.
Right.
That's what I explained to you from that Mishnah.
Right.
Well, that's an important Mishnah to understand the principles in this paper from the Tiersa Isha. Philip, have you got it now?
Yeah.
Do you understand it now? So, the adopo, we say, we pass the mic to Rabbanon, that the adopo belongs. Hadopo Shemaya Yiberchak, everybody says, belongs to the husband. But the question is, Shadopo Yiberchak. Shadopo Yiberchak, according to Rabbanon, belongs to the husband.
According to
Rabbi Yechiva,
belongs to her. But we pass the light to Rabbanon,
that it belongs to the husband. And that is what the Mishnah says. The Hadopo Yiberchak, he gets. Because he's got to give it a more kesef every week. For a thin money, just
do does Rashi explain that in the Mishnah?
No. Yes, Rashi explains it. The notion of more kesef, the whole Shabbos. The Devorim Ketanim, have you got it?
Yeah.
Then the Rashi goes on, Maisa Yodin Ukmino Le'el. We explain further in the Gemara, most of Maisa Yodin, that is over and above the Maisa Yodin, the most of the Yesod of the Maisa Yodin, that is the Adolfo. So we've got that really nicely tied up. Now let us go on a little bit further. Any difficulties there, Dr. Cohen? But
that is easier. Ella, Notin La, Kaelin, Shalchan, Shinzuz, the Amorta, Gishanu. Okay, the he, and this is those next two words.
In the winter, she gets new clothing, and in the summer, the Mosa Chomer, in the days of the sun, she covers herself with the rags, that is, with the remainders of the not actually rags, but the remainders, by that time they breathe in the weather, then it's good for her to be covered like that.
And how's the second word pronounced? Mitkaseh, and the second word?
Yes.
And that means
what? Which is remained over from the blood, they say him. That is her property. That belongs to her. Alright, now we've got as far as that.
When we were hazarding this, we had difficulty on the very top of the whole row and the culture thing, just exactly what the question was, we weren't formulating.
Well, I'll give you the question of that.
I mean, perhaps we could go through it inside.
I will go inside with you. If you just follow me, Tony Tanaka made a robot. I'll tell you what we will do. Since it's your turn to lead, will you lead the Gemara, please? Someone learned in front of Rava a Tano. What is a Tano?
He's saying that a Tano.
No,
that is
because
when
you came to be in
difficulty,
or a performing writer, you came to be in difficulty, but that would be the same thing as Jimmy Carter said Shakespeare did with you last night.
That the findings of a woman
born. The kind of the woman belongs to her,
yes,
the
Rav Akiva.
Rabbi Akiva should be.
Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Reba'Allah. The woman belonged to her husband.
Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her husband. That is what this person brought this splicer. It's all done orally.
Mm-hmm.
He brings this splicer to Robert. He says, this is the splicer that has come down to me. Obviously, he brings it to him to check out on it. Does it sound right to him? Get the answer. Omar
Le Hashta.
Omar Le.
Omar Le. Robert said this to the one who said this.
Yes.
Hashta.
Yes.
Umaha Edfa?
Umaha Adolfo. Now, Umaha Adolfo. Take the surplus of what she earns. Umaha Adolfo. Take the surplus. Go on.
The Maitreya Dehadi.
Very good. That's a phrase, that's the phrasing. Kermaisi or Deogi, to what category does it belong? The surface of the living, to what category does it belong? To Kermaisi or Deogi.
Right.
To Kermaisi or yes. So, what would you say, to whom should it belong?
If it's my career, it should belong to the husband.
To the nevertheless, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her. Then,
Metzia, and her find.
Lakoshka, all the more reason that it should belong to her.
Is it possible, the Adolfa belongs to him,
yes,
we would say because it is like Maisa Yudeha, it is Maisa Yudeha.
Adolfa is an extension of Maisa Yudeha.
Right.
And we would normally say that as a Maisa Yudeha belongs to the husband,
right.
So should the Adolfa belongs to the husband. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says, Hadopo belongs to her. You follow?
Yes.
That belongs to her. So, all the more reason that he would say that her Metzia belongs to her. Because for that we've got, what is Metzia instead of?
Oh, because he has no claim on Metzia.
What we would say is, if we know that, Maisa Yodeo belongs to the husband We know that Peres belongs to the husband because of Pirka. We know that Kasubi belongs to the husband because of Kmuro. Right. That we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we've got the question of Metzia, what would we say? To whom does it belong?
It would appear to her he doesn't have a claim.
We haven't got a claim because we only know he's got. So my thing is that as if somebody would say, no, it belongs to the husband, under what category would I put it?
If you...
Under what most of you there? Of course! That's the only category I can put it under. You probably the only category I can put it under.
Material. I'm going to make a construct for his claim by way of my theory.
Well, as you did, very good. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Akiva, even the Ha'adopo, which is nearer to my theory than Material, says Rabbi Akiva, it belongs to her. How much more so would Material, which is still further away from my theory, belong to her?
Very good.
That's all it is. But I was waiting for you to ask that question. You should have asked that question the first time we did it. That's simple pshat. It's not even pshat.
We were too lost to be unhappy the first time we did it.
That's why I didn't tell you. So you get further into the Gemara, then that question's got to come along. You understand it now. Mark, you understand it. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody who doesn't understand it? Fine, go on. That's all it is. So Robert says, I don't like it. So how can you say that Rabbi Akiva says that it belongs, the material belongs to Barlow? If Maisa Yodeo belongs to her, the Adolfo of Maisa Yodeo belongs to her, then surely Material should certainly belong to her. Yes. Now, what is the next thing that the Gemara tries to do? David, can you see what's the next thing the Gemara tries to do? You've got to see the Gemara follows the system. So what's the next thing the Gemara does now? Can anybody help us out? Yes?
Tries to bring a proof.
A proof of what?
That Rabbi Akiva holds that Matthias would belong to her.
No.
That the Adolfo would belong
to her. That the Adolfo. We've got to have that proof that Rabbi Akiva says that the Adolfo belongs to her. So, from where do we get the proof? We get the proof from another Mishnah. What is another Mishnah? Go on, Yisnan.
This
is a Mishnah. This is Nun.
Nunayin.
We look it up.
Nuntis.
Or Nuntet, pardon.
Doesn't show it's a
Mishnah. Nuntis. It's not there as a Mishnah.
It's Nun. If you look over here.
This is it. It's a Mishnah. In the Dori.
You can't tell by looking at this cross reference from which one is a Mishnah.
You just have to know. That's asking too much.
That you can't expect of a sales adjust to do.
Okay. That you look up, you want to know, then you look up.
Okay,
and if you are a beginner, then you look up each place.
And you see which one.
And eventually you come to it, you'll see that it's a Mishnah then. But once it's a Mishnah, I know that it's a Mishnah.
It has to be a Mishnah.
Yes. I know it has to be a Mishnah, right?
We were in the Mishnah.
Yes.
Konim. She'eno.
She'ani. Have you got She'ani or She'ani?
She'ani.
Yes, that's right. Konim She'ani. Ose lepicha.
Lepicha.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, the meaning is that she declares that her wages are konim to her husband.
Yes, she says, konim shani ose lepicha. That which I earn, that which I produce, I want it to be konim.
Right.
That means you can't have it.
Right. So the question we come on here
is it
necessary for her to annul that vow? If she owns it,
yes.
Then
Very good. Then it's not necessary for her to annul that vow.
No, if she owns it, it is necessary.
But he owns it.
If he owns it, it's not necessary.
It's not necessary. So the Gemara says, Eina tzorich, the Mishnah says, Eina tzorich lahofe. Eina tzorich lahofe. Yeah, Eina tzorich lahofe.
It's not necessary to annul.
It's not necessary to annul. We chose what?
Because he owns it.
It's not necessary to annul.
Rabbi Akiva Omer Yipar.
You're fair.
It is necessary.
Rabbi Akiva says, he should annul. Why?
Because
she owns it. No. Everybody agrees that her earnings go to the husband. See the next three words.
Shema
4.
Tadeh alav yoter.
And the next three
min haroi
lo. Perhaps she died before lo. Perhaps she will produce more than he's entitled to, than he's minoroi lo, that he's entitled to. So the surplus that she uses, so Rabbi Akiva says he must annul because of the surplus. It's possible that there will be a surplus.
Which means that she owns the surplus.
Which means that the surplus belongs to her, according to Rabbi Akiva, but only according to Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Then we've got the proof. So now we've got our question. Now we've got the proof that Rabbi Akiva says that behind Dorfo, which is really Meister Yodeo,
belongs to her.
How much more so should the Metzia belong to her?
Right. However, back here we had this person who brought this brightest, which
said
Rabbi Akiva belongs to him.
Belongs to her.
So it doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right. Answers to the
I've got it.
Yes?
I'm sorry. I just want to know, why does the Gemara have to bring down this Mishnah? Is it just trying, in other words...
Because otherwise we wouldn't have, we don't know that Rabbi Akiva says that the Hadopo belongs to her.
Well, we just said, Amar Rabbi Akiva la'atma.
No, we say, we know that it belongs to her. The Gemara says, now I'll prove to you from where I know it belongs to her. Like you sometimes ask me, how do I know it?
I see. So first, the Gemara, when it's on this top line of the Gemara here, it's just, you know, asking if Rabbi Akiva holds that.
No, it says so. I know that Rabbi Akiva was there, but
yeah,
I want
here's
you to
the proof.
But I want you to know. You to know also. I know that Rabbi Akiva was there, but I want you to know also.
Okay.
So where? How will you know? I'll point you the Mishnah. This is the source.
I see. Can I get something clear?
Yes.
She makes an oath that what she makes, that her money is konev to her husband.
Yes.
If it belongs to him, if the Gemara says that he should have it,
yes,
then the vow may or may not be nullified by her husband.
It's not necessary.
It
doesn't mean anything
because it is.
If
it's
it is, yes.
So she can't.
I mean, if you say you co-name this Gemara to me, so what right have you got to say co-name to this Gemara? You can say it about your Gemara, but not about my Gemara.
Right.
It's mine. It doesn't belong.
Right.
You follow. All right. Carry on.
Okay. Ewa Efo.
Elo Eifel.
Flip it around.
It's not a nice word. Elo Eifel.
Turn it around.
Elo, turn it round. Metzia so Isho.
Isho le Baal.
Le Valo. The Metzia of a woman belongs to her husband. Rabbi Akiva Omele Atzma. Finish, and there we've got it right now. So now we know that the Tamar Kama says that the Metzia of a woman belongs to her husband, and Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her, and I've already let you into the secret that we paskin like the Tanakh Kama, and that is our Mishnah. Metzia Isha belong to her, but we, yes, right now we come to a little bit more complicated. Carry on, Daniel.
No, that actually works very nicely.
Works out very nicely.
Because that works out now with our...
We agree with the Mishnah.
Right. That the Chachomim agree with the Mishnah, we pass the Tanakh Kama, so it works out very nicely.
Right. for Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah.
Well, fine. Do so. All right. Ask, yes. Now, this is a piece of Gemara. Vahaki also Ravi. Ask the Gemara. Now, we're learning it according to Rashi. We're learning the whole Gemara according to Rashi. And I'm training you that when you do a piece of Gemara, you first learn it according to Rashi. And you don't start with any other things. You try and understand it first, how Rashi understood the piece of Gemara. Right. Asks the Gemara Vahaki Asi Ravin.
Amar Ravi.
Amar Ravi Yochanan.
Vodafa.
Okay, but just say that again. Baho asks the Gemara. Say, but asks the Gemara.
And asks the Gemara.
No, asks the Gemara Baho. Ki also, say it, ki.
Ki ata, Rab.
Are you the Sadi?
Yes.
Ki ata.
Ki ata.
Ravin.
Ravin, Amar Ravin.
What does that mean? Ki ata Ravin.
And, well, and ask.
No. Ata is he came. When Ravin came, where was this Gemara written? Where was it composed? Where was it compiled? Where was it redacted?
I don't know.
In Babylon, probably. In Babylon. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Everything took place in Babylon. So it says, but at the same time when this was taking place in Babylon, there was a Gemara which was being made in Eretz Yisrael. The Rishali, behold, ki osi Rovin, ki osi Rovin, asked the Gemara, but when Rovin came, he came to Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan, carry on, please, be'adofo.
Be'adofo, shalom.
Shelo,
all your day, had
chak,
had
a chak,
had a chak.
Hadofa shelo, all your day, chak. But you must begin to roll off your tongue already. Said Rabbi Yochanan be'adofa shelo, all your day, had chak. If it is a question of ha'adofa shelo, all your day, had chak, where she didn't have to work overtime for it, but she produced more than she's expected to produce. We discussed in that other Mishnah I told you with the Erev and the Shesi. You remember I explained it to you. With the length of it and the breadth of it, that the wealthy where length is longer is more difficult. It's laid down how much she is expected to produce. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, if she produces more than she is expected to produce, that is called the Hadopo. But she doesn't strain herself for it. She is a quick worker. Whereas another woman produces that, and that is her day's work, she produces more than that. That is Hadofo Shelo Al Yedei Adchak. The Hadofo, that's Hadofo, you understand?
Yeah.
That Hadofo without any pressure, she's a quick worker. Some women work quicker than other women. Some men were quicker than other women. She's just a quick worker. Kuli Alma.
Kuya Alma.
Lo Pligi.
Lo Pligi Deval He.
Haba. What does Kuli Alma mean? Like in Hebrew, Kol Ha Olam. The whole world, Lo Pligi, do not argue. Kuli Alma, the whole world, Lo Pligi, don't argue.
So nobody argues.
Deval Havi. That it belongs to the Baal. Everybody agrees that it belongs to the Kipligi.
Kipligi.
The Ha'adofo.
Ha'adofo. Sha'al.
Yedei Adchak.
Sha'al Yedei Adchak.
The Ha'adofo Sha'al Yedei Adchak. The only time they argue is with Ha'adofo, that is Al Yedei Adchak. What does that mean? This is Ha'adofo. That she does, if she stays up at night, she does it. That is Al Yedei Adchak. The husband goes to bed, she's put the children to bed, her husband has gone to go to bed, she stays over and she's still doing. That is Hadofa, she's earning Al Yedei Adchak. And now that is Hadofa, she Al Yedei Adchak. Larry, do you understand what I'm saying?
Not completely.
What don't you understand then?
What you were saying is that...
That it means there is an where she earns more, and she does.
There's a surplus where she earns it, and a surplus where she doesn't earn it.
No, there is a surplus which she earns without overdoing it,
right.
Without any pressure, without any strain. You follow?
Yep.
That surplus which she earns without any strain, everybody agrees it belongs to
her. What is she'al yedei ad hoc? That's a surplus?
No. Hadofo is the surplus. She'al yedei ad hoc, or the first thing, she'lo al yedei ad hoc, lo means not.
Right.
Which is not the al yedei by means of, al yedei means by means of, the hoc pressure. Which is not by means of pressure. Everybody agrees that it belongs to the husband. That everybody agrees. When do they argue? It is a surplus, but which she is able to produce only by putting a strain on herself. What is the example? She's put her children to bed, her husband has gone to bed, she's brought him tea in bed, and he's already he's reading the newspaper in bed. And what is she doing? She is working. She's at the loom, working, she's producing. And she produces more. That is our dofo al yedei ad hoc. It's a dofo, she produces more. But al yedei ad hoc through precious is up in the night for it. Do you understand? David, are you with me?
Yeah, so when we spoke about Hadassah before, in terms of the difference between the Chomi and Rabbi Akiva, then we didn't know which... We don't know, at this point, we don't know what Hadassah is.
At that time, we didn't divide the Hadassah into two types. Now we're dividing it, we're making a distinction. As we say about that Hadassah, Shelo Yedei Achak, everybody agrees that belongs to the husband. So Maisa Yodea belongs to a husband. The Hadofa of the Maisa Yodea Shelewa Yodea Chak belongs to the husband. No question about it. We only question Hadofa She Al Yodea Chak, the Hadofa of the Maisa Yodea, which is Al Yodea Chak, which comes through putting on an extra strain. She's up at night. That's the best way to look upon it, yes?
Tana Kama, Sover la'ala levala v'rabi Akiva.
A big pardon? Tanakama sover levalo. Say, Tanakama sover levalo. The Tanakama is of the opinion that it belongs to? Leva'alo.
Leva'ala.
What? Baal is a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Leva'al to a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Leva'alo to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
The Tanakam is of the opinion that it belongs to her husband. Yes, Rabbi Akiva Sover.
Sover La'atzma.
Rabbi Akiva Sover La'atzma. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that it belongs to herself. Right? All right. Larry, you carry on from there. You haven't seen this. After the war in Italy, you used to go along the seashore and you used to see these women collecting the fish that was thrown out in the sea there. That is a metziah. You follow?
Yeah.
So there are two types of metziahs. There's a metziah that is a metziah she'al yedei ad chak, and there's a metziah she's not a metziah al yedei ad chak. A metziah lo al yedei ad chak is she goes in the street and she finds a ring. You follow? She finds the gold ring. But we are speaking about a Metzir She'al Yedei Ad Chak, and Rashi gives the examples of it. What is a Metzir She'al Yedei Ad Chak? Dogim She'nisha Rubi Abosha, she goes and she picks up fish. Oh, a Tzvi Shovel, or she goes hunting for a deer that got no meat.
Today they find aluminum cans.
That is a Metzir She'al Yedei Ad Chak.
Where's Rashi on that? That tells us that?
somewhere around here.
Papa, Messias, following
ומשאני אומר אפו פרציה תקדם שהידי אחד דרב פרציה צורך לחזר הקראים כגרדוגים של איש רובי אבו של פלפו. I gave you an example of Italy after the war, where there was great poverty. There you could see them all the time. You saw them picking up these fish all the time. But you know, they tell me that it happens also in Los Angeles, that you find that there are poor women that haven't got enough to eat, and they go scrapping along in the bins. What do they call them?
Garbage
cans.
All the time.
Yes. Same thing. Yes. Now, so the whole argument is, Larry, the whole difference of opinion is where it is ha'adofo she'al yedei adchak. There, Plukto de Rabbi Akiva, Omer Apopa Metzias o Kedovi al Yidei Achad Domi. So the Metzio is like the Hadofo She al Yidei Achad. So what you've got to understand is that in the same way that there are two types of Hadofo, there is a Hadofo She Lo al Yidei Achad. To whom does Ha'adofo Shelo Ayyidei Adchak belong to?
Husband.
No question. Therefore, a Metzio Shelo Ayyidei Adchak, to whom does it belong? To a husband, no question. Put it on the, we're working it on the same basis. Then there is a Ha'adofo Shelo Adchak, she's up at night to produce it. To whom does that belong?
The
Rabbonim say it belongs to the husband.
And Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her.
Hadofo she'al yedei adchak. Hadofo she'al surplus, but she's up in the night earning that surplus. Then the machlokes Rabbonim say that it belongs to the husband. Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her. And the parallel to that in Metzio is a Metzio she'al yedei adchak. She's got to go out and look for it. There's that same machlokas.
It would seem that there's an even better case in that case for it to belong to her than ha'adapa she'al-yedei adchak to belong to her.
But if it's a metzio she'al-yedei adchak, if it's a metzio she'al-yedei adchak, Rabbonon say that it belongs to the husband, and Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her.
That's consistent.
That's consistent. Yes, that's consistent. Understanding it a bit better.
How the Chachamim say that it belongs to the
husband? Do we resolve the
parallel case to Marseille?
It's a parallel case, that's what it says here. Yeah, Omer Apopa Metzio Soka Adofa Shel Yedei Adchak Domi. A Metzio is like Adofa Shel Yedei Adchak. And Rashi describes what kind of a Metzio. It is a Metzio Shel Yedei Adchak.
Okay.
So a Metzio Shel Yedei Adchak plukte. Plukto, Barry, Larry, Plukto, go on, Plukto,
okay. Plukto,
the Rabbi Akiva,
the
Rabbono, the Adopo, the Metzio, and we know that it means the Metzio she'al yedei adchak, is like a Hadofo she'al yedei adchak, is like a surface which you, for which you've got to strain yourself to get. So a surplus that we for which he's got to strain herself to get is a machlokas between Rabbon and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbonon say it belongs to the husband, Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her. The same machlokas is with a metzio, with a fine, but she's got to strain herself to get it. She's got to look in the dirt bins to get it. For that type of it, Rabbonon say that it belongs to her husband, and Rabbi Akiva says it belongs to her, and we paskin like the Rabbonon. It's why I'm so emphasizing the question of we paskin like the Rabbonon. You'll find out in a moment. Have you got that clear now?
Yes.
Good.
please.
Can you give us the reason before isn't the reason car?
A big pardon?
Isn't the reason car that we...
What? Reason for what?
That we pass on the coin in the bond.
No.
The taco.
What is katasta? For because of katoto. Well, that is the background of it all. That is the background of it all. That there shouldn't be any katoto. But with Rabbonah we go through very, very easily the whole thing, you see. And the... we go through very easily. Everybody agrees that the Hadofo Shlo Al Yedei Adchak, everybody agrees that belongs to the husband. And the reason it belongs to the husband, because that was the Tikono, because she gets the more kesef. That everybody agrees. The only thing is the Mosa, the Hadofo. Mosa and Hadofo mean the same thing, the extra. To whom does the extra belong? That is the machlokes between Rabbon and Rabbi Akiva. That is how far we got last time. Now I've got to move on further. Boy Rav Papa.
Boy Rav Papa.
David.
Boy Rav Papa comes, Rav Papa.
Boy doesn't mean comes. Oh. Comes would be with an aleph. And this is with an ayin. So if it was an ayin, come in. And if it's with an ayin, it doesn't mean comes, but what does it mean? Boy. You've got this word, you see. This word you've got. Baya. And this is a word that's moved in modern Hebrew. And it means a problem. This is a problem. You follow? And Bo'i, he questions or he asks. Or he probes. You follow?
Yeah.
And Bo'u, they question, or they pose the problem. Bo'u. So it's quite simple. Have you got the idea? All right.
So boy, Rav Papa, Papa raises the question.
Yes.
Asisa lo, Stein.
That's fine.
No, you're not saying it quite properly. Well, Osis, are you Sephardic or Ashkenaz? Osis or lo, Stein. Also, what does also mean?
Also to do.
Well, it doesn't mean to do, also is to do. Also.
She did. Sorry to.
He did it.
Oh, he did.
And also saw.
She did it.
Simple. Also saw, and the next word?
No.
Yes, and the next word?
Stein.
And the next word?
Bavas
Achas. Osus Lel Shtai Bavas Achas. What does Osus Lel mean?
She does for him
Shtai
two
Bavas Achas at the same time. Bavas Achas means at the same time. It's an expression. Osus Lel Shtai Bavas Achas. She did two for him at the same time. Now, just let your hand go across to the Rashi, and you'll see what it means. Use your two hands always when you learn. Also, so the
show merit.
She looks after cucumbers or melons. Have you got this? And the Tovo Pishtim, and she weaves flax. Got it? She's doing two jobs at the same time. Is what we want to know is that considered Hadofo Yedei Achak? See, we had the example I gave you of Hadofo Yedei Achak is where she earns more by what she is doing. She is weaving flax. So instead of working 6 hours and attending to all her housework when everybody's in bed, she's up at night and covering some more. That is Ayyadei al-Khaq. That is, nobody questions that is Ayyadei al-Khaq. But what we want to know, is it Ayyadei al-Khaq if in the same time she does it, not extra time, it's not overtime, but in the same time she's doing two things at the same time. Is that extra? You follow? That is what Rav Popper's question is. Bo'i Rav Popper on Rav Popper, also Seloshtein Bevas Achas Mahu, what would be the law? Go on, Bo'i Ravino.
Shlosha or
Dalit Bevas Achas Mahu. So Ravino says, now, here you've got to understand something. And here you must help me. Is Rav Popper posing his question according to the Rabbonon or according to Rabbi Akiva? First of all, what is it that we are discussing here? What is it that we are discussing? We are discussing whether this would be Hadofo Ayyadei al-Khaq. So what are we discussing? Hadofo Ayyadei al-Khaq, are we saying, according to the Chachomim, let's say, who Hadofo Ayyadei al-Khaq belongs to the husband, would, if she does two works at the same time, two jobs at the same time, would the second job also belong to the husband? That is the way we would learn. Or do we say, no, we are going to ask it according to Rabbi Akiva?
Yes.
So how's it going to work out? Rabbi Akiva says that the Hadofo She'ayyadei al-Khaq belongs to her?
To her.
To her. So, and if she, that is, if she stays up later at night and do, but if she doesn't stay up later at night, but at the same time that she is weaving the flax, she is watching somebody's cucumbers growing and protecting them that nobody comes and steals them, and for that she's getting paid. So we ask you, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that Ayyadei al-Khaq, does that belong to her, does it belong to her husband? Then you've got to learn it like that. Mm-hmm. So you can learn this either way.
Right.
You can learn this Gemara either way.
Mm-hmm. How could you learn it for the Rabbanim?
Yes, isn't this a question really on Rabbi Akiva?
With Rabbanim, it comes out very easily, it comes out beautifully according to Rabbanim.
Either way, they would.
Either way, they
stay their own. No, the Rabbonim say, to whom does Hadofo Ayyadei al-Khaq belong?
Husband.
Fine. They say, we can understand, says Rav Popper, I can understand if everybody is in bed, she goes back to her loom and she continues working. She's working Ayyadei al-Khaq. The Rabbon would say it belongs to a husband. In this case, would they say that it belongs to a husband or that it belongs to her?
Belongs to her husband, mm-hmm. All the more so. If anything, it's less Ayyadei. If it's not Ayyadei al-Khaq, it goes.
You agree with that?
If it's not Ayyadei al-Khaq, it goes to her husband. If it is Ayyadei al-Khaq, it still goes to her husband.
You have two classes.
And this would seem to be, if this is. If working overtime is Ayyadei al-Khaq, then all the more so this should be Ayyadei al-Khaq.
I argue the other way. If it's not Ayyadei al-Khaq, then it's if it's low Ayyadei al-Khaq, then it's Ayyadei al-Khaq. In other words, either one or the other. It's clear that if inside they have the sock, everybody agrees it goes to the Baal. If in this case we say it's not
Lord is there, but how come it's got
to go to the husband?
It's in a case where everybody agrees it goes to the husband.
But as if you say that it's al yedei hashchach according to the Rabbonon, it should also go
right.
to the husband. So the question is, if we would say, all right, let us learn it in according to Rabbi Akiva, I'll come back and I'll show you how they learn that. But quite right, let us go and learn it according to Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Popo comes along and he says to you, Rabbi Akiva, who says that my Seyudeo Ayyadei Adchak belongs to her, what would it be if she is doing two work at the same time? Would that also be Ayyadei Adchak or not? She's not over, later in, she's not working over time, but she's over energy. So would you say that that should be, since that is al yedei hashchach and it belongs to her, or do you say it's not al yedei hashchach and belongs to the husband? Right? Mm-hmm. So that works out much more easily, you say.
Yeah.
Fine.
So then it's an issue whether it's al yedei hashchach or not.
Let us finish that piece of Gemara on that basis, and then I'll show you off to say you learn like the Rabbonon.
What I say, I could see that Ravina is asking, that Rav Popa is asking according to the Rabbonon, then comes Ravina along to ask her.
No, according to the Rabbonon. But let us do one way at a time. You can learn either Peshat.
Well, the question you can why does Ravina have to come with 3 and 4? I mean, what?
Well, that will come to you in a moment. But let us learn it then according. Are you asking the question if you learn it like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva, you'll be in difficulty with Ravino?
Yeah.
Or are you asking independently of him?
No, if you're asking according to Rabbi Akiva, why would you need a Ravina to ask it?
Good, all right, now this is just see how it goes. Will you start again, David? Boy Rav Popo, you sang the Gemara.
Okay.
Boy Rav
Popo. Asisa low.
Asa so low.
Asa slow.
Asa so low.
Asa so
low. This is.
Asa.
Asa so low. Asa so low.
Asa so low.
Yes.
Stein bavas achas.
Yes.
And
the next word?
Mahu.
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 What would be the deal? Also, Salon Stein, Babas Achas Mahu. What is the deal? Mahu is what is the deal? She does two for him at the same time. She weaves and she looks after melons at the same time. Now we're going to learn it to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that if it's al yedei hashchach, it belongs to her, would this be al yedei hashchach? Because it's true she's not working extra time, but she's putting in extra work. Would this be al yedei hashchach? Fine. Take the next one. Ravino?
By Ravina?
Boy Ravino, Ravino asked,
Shlosha or Dalit?
Shlosha or Dalit, and the next three words? Mahu.
Mahu.
Boy Ravino asked, 3 and 4 at the same time. So Ravino says, we're learning it now according to Rabbi Akiva. Says Ravino, I can understand that two, Rav Popa might say, that we might say, that this is still not al yedei hashchach. Two is not. But if she does 3 or 4, you know, I remember when I was a child and I saw a cousin of mine throwing up two balls and catching them. And I thought that this was something so great. Until I saw somebody throwing up 3 balls and catching it. And that is, so 2, all right, it's a big thing. But to do 3 and 4, I can understand, says Ravino, that too you might say, well, a woman does it, it belongs to her husband still. It's not al yedei hashchach. But you do 3 and 4, I can say that is al yedei hashchach. What is the deal?
answers the Gemara. What answers the Gemara?
Teiku. We'll talk about it later.
So the Gemara says it remains a question. The Gemara says it remains a question. We can't answer it. So to whom would it belong?
Eliyahu.
Oh, pardon?
Eliyahu. To the Mishnah.
No, not at all.
That's a question.
So if it's a question, to whom does it belong? David.
I thought I said who will answer.
To whom would it belong? We've got to work it out. We use a principle.
It depends according to Rabbi Akiva.
We're working it out. Do you want it to work according to Rabbi Akiva?
You have to say it belongs to her.
Why?
Because if it's three and four things that she's doing, it's definitely all you
do. No, it's true. Rabbi says I don't know because they are like things. She can do them all together.
For example, she's looking out at the melon,
and in her breast she's got silkworms' eggs, and she's warming them.
The question still remains for Rabbi Akiva to respond to.
But the Gemara says we don't know, we haven't got an answer. Don't forget, Rabbi Popper is long after Rabbi Akiva. So he says, what would Rabbi Akiva say to this? Asks Rabbi Popper. You understand?
Yeah.
So we've got to have now, we work on a principle. If it's teiku, that means it's a doubt. So on a doubt, we work on principles. When it's a question of doubt in money, it's exactly the same thing as I come to Philip and I say, Philip, I lent you $1,000 and I want $1,000 back. So Philip comes to court, and Philip says, but I paid $1,000. And he's got two witnesses that he paid $1,000. I say, of course. But those $1,000 were for a previous loan that I gave. You paid me back. But this is after you paid me back, you borrowed a loan, a girl loan. So I say, Philip, I want my $1,000. So the court said, but we haven't got enough proof for it. We don't know. It's a doubt with us. So what would be the law? Would you have to pay me or not?
No.
The court reads the parties where it finds them.
That's right. Because that is the principle of a Amotzi Mechavelo or Lov Lehovi Raya. Have you had that principle ever? You just let me put it on the board for you in your pocket. But this is a principle that you must remember. A Amotzi Mechavelo or Lov Lehovi Raya. Raya is proof. Hamotzi Mechavelo, if one wants to take away from his next one, I want to take away from you, I want to take away from you, Hamotzi, or no, it's in upon him, that's upon the Motzi, upon me, Lehovi, to bring Raya the proof. If I want to take away from who I've got to bring the proof. So who are the parties, the litigants here? The husband says it belongs to me because this is her adofo and it belongs to me. The woman says it is adofo, but it's adofo and therefore it belongs to me. We don't know to whom it belongs. In whose possession is it? In the woman's possession. Therefore, the husband must bring the proof, but he can't bring proof. If he can't bring proof, it belongs to the woman. That is the deal of teiku. That is our.
That's according to Rabbi.
And that is the way we paskin.
Rabbi.
You know that according to Rabbi Akiva, that is the way we paskin. But now we're going to find ourselves in another difficulty.
Could you
come
through that real quickly?
Which part?
The last part.
Quite after. Good evening, gentlemen.
Which part?
Why? How that principle?
And that principle
is applying in this case.
It is so simple that you don't even need an actuary for it. Just listen how it is. How it is. She has done the following. Let us take it the whole way according to Rabbi. She has worked on the loom.
That's one word that she's done. Okay. At the same time, she's had her loom outside on the window onto her neighbor's field. And the neighbor is away, so she looks after the melons or the cucumbers, and she sees that nobody, she's got an eye on it, nobody should take her. She is also warming up the silkworm's eggs so that they should be able to hatch. You know that. You know that that is done.
I'm familiar with it as of last week.
I beg pardon?
As of last week.
This is the first time you heard of it. When you were a child, didn't you have silkworms? You never? Mm-hmm.
Just mice.
Then, silkworms' eggs, she's got to get ready to produce so that they hatch, and then the worms turn into cocoons, and when they turn into cocoons, they wrap themselves in the silk. And then you take off the silk from the cocoons, and then the cocoon becomes a moth, and the moth lays eggs, and then the eggs again she carries in her breast to warm them, and then they hatch, and they become worms. And so it continues to be. That's a third thing that she does. And she's also got an egg that she's keeping warm in this place. She's keeping an egg warm that the fowl has laid because she wants to have a chicken. So she's doing four things. Right. Now, the loom, the work of the loom belongs to the husband about that we don't argue. The only thing is this Maase Yodeo She'al Yedeyat Hadoko She'al Yedeyat Chak. The other three things, watching out of the window for the lemerbelas.
Saying it is, are you there?
We don't know. It's mahu. What is it? Right. And we say teku. We don't know.
Okay.
Is it maase yodeo al yedei achak or not al yedei achak?
Okay.
If it's not al yedei achak, to whom the, because we say, but it's so easy to do it.
Then it goes to a husband. Everyone would agree.
Everybody agrees. It goes to a husband. But, and you're asking it according to Rabbi Akiva, but if it's Al Yedei Adchak according to Rabbi Akiva, to whom does it go? Now we don't know. The Gemara says, Teiku, we don't know whether this is regarded Al Yedei Adchak or not. We know if it's overtime, we know that that is Al Yedei Adchak. But it is, if it's overwork, we don't know whether it's Al Yedei Adchak. If it's not overtime, it's just that she's overworked. We don't, is that Al Yedei Adchak or not? We don't know, and the Gemara remains with the Teiku. Says, I don't know. But this has happened. We've got a case now. Yad is the husband and Yad is the wife. And the husband and the wife come to the Bezdin and they say, or to the Rov, and they say, we are not arguing about the facts. So we are a loving couple. We just want to know what the deen is. How we do? Are we living from hand to mouth existence, as everybody was living? We're living from a hand to mouth existence. We are perfectly happy. We love each other, but we just want to know how we arrange our monetary affairs, our financial affairs. This is what happened. I work. There is no question that what I produce on the loom belongs to my husband. But at the same time, I watch the melons of my neighbor, for which I've got a little bit of money. At the same time, I looked after that neighbor's silkworms, I warned them. At the same time, another neighbor wanted a couple of eggs. They were to hatch them, so I kept them. I've got a little bit extra for this. To whom does that is belong? Does it belong to my husband or does it belong to me?
Mm-hmm.
So the Chachom, we say, well, it depends. Well, is this ha'adofo she'al yedei adchak or not? So say, let's look at the deed. The Gemara says we don't know. So they said the Gemara says we don't know. So what is the sofek? What is the doubt? Is it Hadofo she'al yedei adchak or not? If it is hadofo she'lo al yedei adchak, to whom does it belong? To the husband. If it's hadofo she'al yedei adchak, to whom does it belong?
To her.
We don't know.
It's according to Rabbi Akiva.
Yes, according to Akiva. Quite right. We don't know.
So they said, so what must we do about it? Oh, says the Chachamim, you don't have to worry about it. We'll give you an answer. Hmm. That we would never let you do. Go away hanging in the air. We don't do that sort of thing. Of course we'll give you an answer. We say to the woman, it's in your possession. You have got it. The rule is, Hamotzi mechavero olov zahovirai. The husband is the motzi. Motzi means who wants to take out. He wants to take out. He wants to acquire it. He wants to have it. So it's on him to bring the proof that this is maisi yodeo shelo al yedei avtaka, where it belongs to him. Can he prove it?
Could he say it for the chesed with tzarka?
For the more kesef,
yes.
For the more kesef, he gets a yofu shelav al yedei achak.
Now, are we saying?
So we want to know if it's a yofu shelav al yedei achak, it belongs to him. But it may be a yofu shelav al yedei achak. We don't know. He says, if you don't know, how can we know? He says, you don't have to worry about it. We'll settle this for you. We settle it on the basis of our mercy, machaber, or of lohviraya. It's in her possession. Since it is in her possession, you've got to bring the proof.
Now, based on what we just learned, and we're jumping ahead, but could the Rabbanim use that same argument?
What the Rabbanim said?
The Rabbanim.
You asked me to learn this Gemara according to Rabbi Akiva, so I've learned it according to Rabbi Akiva now. I've learned it according to Rabbi Akiva. What is it?
I was just saying, if we're learning according to the Rabbanim.
Well, then you've got to work in there. I've got to go through the whole Gemara with you, this last Rabbi Rapopa, according to Rabbanim.
Okay.
Now, there are two shittas. There are two shittas in Rishonim. Actually, the shittas go back to earlier than Rishonim. Early, it goes back to the Gaonim. Rabbi Nuchanane learns it as I've just learned it now, according to Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Nuchanane. The Bein Chanane belongs to the period of the Gaonim, so it's even before the Rishonim. So even the Gaonim have these two shittas in which way to learn. Now, I am learning with you because I want you to be able to learn a piece of Gemara with yourself. And the rule is, if you ever want to be able to learn a piece of Gemara with you by yourself, learn it according to Rashi. And learn it one shita that you've got a shita, you know it. Don't confuse yourself. First get the whole Gemara and get into it according to one shita. You know what a shita is?
Yes.
One shita. When you've mastered that one shita, then you go to your Tosfos next. Then you understand the Tosfos. And one of the great tragedies in Israel today is that you get boys who have been in yeshivas for up to 7 years and they feel terribly frustrated they can't eat a banana and learn a bit of Gemara, because they've been told all of the this region says, this region says, this region says. I asked the Rosh Hashiva, I said, you know, if a Rosh Hashiva doesn't understand this, I've got nothing against it. But you are an outstanding Rosh Hashiva. You know this. He said, yes, there are two reasons why I do this. You're quite right. He said, I don't deal with a person who is 14 years of age. I deal with a person who is in his 20s. 19, 20. He's been to college. He's been to university. He's a sophisticated person. He said, if I learn like this with him, he doesn't realize that this is the way I've got to learn, this is the only way I've ever learned to learn, he immediately drops it. This is not exciting for him. So I make it exciting for him. I tell him what the Rambam says. I tell him what the Rambam says. I say, like war, the war, the run. And he becomes excited about it. But he doesn't know a little more the inside. Do you understand?
What's the second reason?
The second reason, he said, how long do you think I've studied? aren't studying us. I went to Yeshiva Katana, then I went to Yeshiva Kadeva, then I went to a Kona, and then I continued after the Kona. So I've been learning for 25 years. After 25 years, if I've got to sit down and do translations, I said, I can't do it. It'll kill me. I beg pardon. He said, it kills me. I said, I can't do that. What do you expect from me? After 25 years, I've got to sit down. It's like taking, I'm giving you the example. It's like taking a highly qualified structural engineer and giving him a pickaxe and say, please go into the quarry here and quarry stones here. We need stones for the building. He says, you know what it means. That's the way he feels. Now, I understand that Rabbi Meiselman is trying to create a yeshiva in Israel for these people to whom this has happened, and he wants to work for them for 2 years and then at least put them into a position where they can go into yeshiva and learn. The two straight learning. Then from there, if they've got that, then from there they can go on and learn. You understand what I'm saying? That's all it is. So what I'm trying to do with you, I don't want you to be confused by all the different shotting that you can learn. Do it according to Rashi. If they have got it, you've got a sheet of Sankonim already. Even before Rashi, Rashi's a Rishon. The Rabbeinu Hananel, he lived round about the year 900 and shortly afterwards. The Rav Haigon, even a little bit earlier. The Rav Haigon was in Babylon. And the Rabbeinu Hananel, where was he? Because no. Don't you know anything?
There's no compulsory education.
To nursery school at least your mother sent you.
Oh.
In our nursery school we didn't discuss where Rav Hananel was.
Nursemaids tell their children this. Nursemaids.
Not if you don't have a Jewish nursemaid.
You don't have to be even Jewish for this. In Kairouan, there was a town, Kairouan. Have you ever heard of Kairouan?
No.
Yes.
Geography also not. Where is Kairouan?
That I don't know.
In Cyrenaica, Libya, one of those places. It's in Africa. And the Rabbeinu Hananel had a school in Kairouan. And the Rabbeinu Nisim had a school in Kairouan. The Rabbeinu Hananel and Rabbeinu Nisim were in Kairouan. Have you followed? No, that's the Ram. But the Rabbeinu Nisim, this is a Gaon, this is before the Ram, several hundred years before the Ram. And that is the Rabbeinu Nisim. Now the Rabbeinu Hananel had a sheet here, and the Rav Haigon have got a sheet here. So it's before the Rishonim already. There was two sheeters. So you want to take the sheet of the Rabbeinu Hananel? Fine, it suits me. I'm also from Africa. So it suits me. By all means. But then you learn the Gemara according to Rabbeinu Hananel, you see? Well, fine. It works out very nicely. Now, I don't want to work it out with Rabbonim if I don't have to. The only time I would have to, if something crops up and I find that Rashi learns it with Rabbonim, then I've got to learn it according to that. But if it doesn't happen, then I'll carry on this list. But it works out nicely like that. But here you get an example how the Gemara can go according to two. Now, why, you might say, then why did I want to learn it to Rabbonim? Because we Paschal like Rabbonim. That is why I wanted to learn it like the Rabbonim. But it doesn't matter. As long as we've got through the Gemara and it makes sense and the whole thing ties up, then it's easy.
Now, what do you want to ask, Josh?
Yes. Does that apply to the case of two, or does that apply to the case of three or four, or does it apply to both?
It can apply to everything.
It applies to two or more than
yes,
two.
Yes.
Two
yes.
Or
because
more.
If we would decide that Rav Popa, the first case that Rav Popa asks,
mm-hmm.
if it's two, if we would decide that two is
no.
already Al-Yaday Al-Chak,
although
the
four
certainly are Yedei Adchak. So Ravina says only if you say two is not a Yedei Adchak, because two she can manage in the East, but three and four, so two you say it's not. Both of those goes to the husband, but what is about three and four?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we don't even know about two, we don't even know. So two, three and four
are always a group.
All
why
a group.
Mention three and four then? Two is already
because it's possible that for two, Rav Popa would have said that the two we would have come to a conclusion. We might have come to a conclusion. He says, Ravina says, even if you come to a conclusion of two, and you say that two is not Al-Yaday Al-Chak, but three and four would be a Shaila.
Yeah, okay.
And we can continue on and on until finally you would have to say...
It's enough already. That's enough. Oh, it works out very nicely. The piece of Gemara works out very nicely. David, have you got the idea?
Yeah.
Right. Please, I've got to take you further.
Are we going to pick this up now according to the Rabbanan?
No, let us leave it. You've got to call it then. Work according to that, unless I'm going to find myself involved with Rashi. I told you why I wanted to learn it according to Rabbanan, because we passed it according to Rabbanan.
I'm wondering about the reading. Didn't
you
read
no,
didn't
you
care?
Are
we
pardoned?
Did you read last week's
film?
No.
Yeah,
are
we
going to do it? We are doing a second time round already. We're doing a second time. Philip, carry on from the next piece of the world. Yes.
Amen.
Are we pardoned? Boshta or Chokhmah,
right,
that is your Mishnah.
Right, I know what it is. Boshta is her shame.
Yes.
And Chokhmah is the lessening of her
that's right.
reputation.
And to whom does the Mishnah say it belongs?
No.
It belongs to her. Does everybody agree that it belongs to her, her Boshta?
Yes, everybody agrees.
But
Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah doesn't. Right, Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah says it's split between.
It's split between the
Gaul and.
That if
depending upon whether it's in
the
Sarah.
If it is the Sarah, he gets one part and she gets two parts. If it's Bagolo, he gets two parts and she gets one part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just tackle the next piece of Gemara and you'll see.
What is this, what looks like a colon, what does it actually mean? I mean, we
the
don't
what?
Have punctuation for the most part in the Gemara. The two marks, the colon, between on either side of Boshta Fagma. We see them all over.
That subject is finished now.
And so
after Yah, he dealt with the Matthias or Isha. Mm-hmm. Now it will be the deals with Boshta or Fagma.
Mm-hmm.
Now it just is closer with Boshta or Fagma. Now it's onto that part of the mission.
I've heard that.
That's all, you see. Most of all, but Philip, all right, carry on. Now, Philip, I have already helped you. You see, I've already helped you. I shouldn't even have helped you. I would have just should have just let you go on. But then you would have got yourself in such deep waters that I helped you. And I pointed out to you the Mishnah, Boshta or Chokhmah belongs to her, excepting that Rabbi Yehuda ben the Sefer says that
it's split.
What is split?
Boshta and
Chokhmah. No, only Boshta. Chokhmah always belongs to her. Chokhmah always belongs to her. The only thing that is split is Boshta. You understand? Now, once you've got that, you'll find it tomorrow, you won't find it difficult. But a little bit, you struggle, of course, but don't be afraid of that. Must be fine. Yes, of course.
Well, we're
every look here. Now, there is a word in Hebrew, there is a word, hatkafa.
I'm saying it's not always a damage to the corner.
heart stop. And
oh, the payment for it. We can, well, the payment for it.
Yeah, but there's a question as to whether we need to.
Are you.
Robo Barabchonon. Robo Barabchonon asked. The only thing is, Muskif is a strong question. Muskif lo Robo Barabchonon. All right, struggle on. Don't ever be afraid of struggling with this tomorrow. There are two great things about struggling. The first thing that you get about struggling is that the only way you get to know Gemara is by struggling. Not struggling, you never learn to learn. Only through. And the second thing is, once you start struggling, you enter the area of Amora Shel Torah. Amora Shel Torah, that's the main basis of the Torah. What is Amora Shel Torah? The what? Well, it's the work, but it's not the work. It's the labor, but it's not the labor. It's the toil, but it's not the toil. It's the sweat. Do they use that word in California, sweat, or only perspiration? Yeah.
No, sweat.
Sweat. It's not perspiration, it's sweat. It's the sweat, and it's not the sweat. It's the tears. And it's not the tears, but it's the blood. And when you've got all those things together, and at the same time, then you've got to abolish your terror. And in addition to that, Pastor Melech Tocha, Umayim Gimashura Tishteh, Ba'ala Oretz Tishon. You remember what that is? Zuhi Darkush Yoteuro. If you've got all that, then you've got to abolish your terror. Then you'll be